You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all, this is Marcus King, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcast.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello once again, Martin Popoff back again for another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. We are part of the vast and growing Pantheon Podcast Network, available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. And actually, Spotify, I believe, is the main place people listen to this show now. Interesting, we're looking at the demographics of all that. Hope you can hear me fine. It's pouring rain out here in Toronto. I feel like I'm recording a fair warning, right? Van Halen, that story about having the bay open and hearing the rain come in and getting some of that on the recording. Anyways, pouring rain here in Toronto. So this one we are going to be calling The Next Led Zeppelin. This is episode 94, The Next Led Zeppelin. This is one of those episodes where I go, I can't believe I've never done this because it's been in my notes forever. But I went back carefully and checked, and actually there are some similar episodes where I might go over some of the same themes as this. I know we did a Next Van Halen and a Next Somebody Else. So in terms of sister episodes, if you like this episode, number 58, Blues for Metalheads, is along this line. Number 63, Bluesy Hair Metal is a little bit along this line. So that's almost like Blues for Metalheads, but later on. And then episode one, believe it or not, of this whole podcast was Led Zeppelin in Hair Metal. And then episode 32 we did on Swan Song Records. You could argue that some of those bands are the next Led Zeppelin. But no, this has been on my mind for quite a while to do an episode on. So glad to get to it. Just recently finished a visual biography of Nazareth, and got a lot of cool help from Pete Agnew himself on that, which was really nice. Corrected a lot of things. But it was interesting, the early days of that, looking at the idea of the Led Zeppelin type lineup, or the Who type lineup, where you've got a lead singer standing there, you've got a bass player, a guitarist, and a drummer. And Nazareth kind of made that transition. Led Zeppelin fairly firmly in mind as they're making that transition. I mean, their first album was actually kind of Zeppelin-y, and the second one was almost like their Led Zeppelin 3, and then they went back to their Led Zeppelin 4 with Razmanaz and on to great fame. That's the kind of idea here. But these bands are even more directly than Nazareth, because Nazareth wasn't, particularly called, oh, here's the next Led Zeppelin sort of thing all that often. These bands kind of really did enter into that conversation in the press, in the lexicon, in the pop culture of the time. Let's get started and we'll discuss. They're all different ways, different dynamics that they're considered the next Led Zeppelin. Let's listen to our first track here on History in Five Songs. This is Mountain with Never in My Life.
Never in my life did I fight for God like you.
All right, so Mountain, this is from Climbing! Exclamation mark, issued March 7th, 1970. You know, I wanted to play you kind of a big, bold, blustery, bluesy number. Mountain was definitely one of those bands that was considered the next Led Zeppelin. Now, this is early 1970, so Zeppelin's got Zeppelin 1 out and Zeppelin 2 out. You know, they're just kind of getting going more or less themselves. Although, you know, in rapid succession, those two records made them already stars by this point. But Mountain was considered right in the beginning there the American version of Led Zeppelin, America's Led Zeppelin, you know, the American Led Zeppelin, whatever. I can remember a lot of these things from a lot of press looking at Mountain. And why? I mean, it is the heavy post-British blues boom sound that you're getting out of them. So you're getting that transition from boring old regular blues, you know, I don't know who you want to put in here. Ainsley Dunbar's Retaliation, early Fleetwood Mac and Free, even the Allman Brothers to some extent right at the beginning. Not really that much. More like Fillmore. You know, I always think of Whipping Post when I think of this concept. But anyways, Mountain were one of these, again, that's blues for metalheads, right? Trying to make the blues interesting, but it's heavy, it's riffy. This is a band with a guitar hero in it. So there's you know, the definitely the comparison between Leslie West and Jimmy Page, but not so much, you know, not the configuration, because Leslie is playing guitar and singing and not singing like Robert Plant at all. They actually have a keyboardist at this point, Steve Knight, Felix Pappalardi, Corky Lang complete the thing. Corky and John Bonham are kind of a similar sort of thing. You know, both pretty exuberant power drummers. But it's more so this idea of the guitar hero and the type of music they were playing. Mountain was definitely exciting, heavy, explosive, post-British blues boom, semi-proto-nascent heavy metal, just kind of like Led Zeppelin when they were heavy. So there you go. Mountain definitely fits this. Pretty interesting. This album actually went gold, and Nantucket Sleigh Ride from the next year, 1971, also went gold. So they had some success. This is the first Mountain album, although there's the messy thing about Leslie West, you know, space-space Mountain. So Leslie West's debut album was called Mountain. So and it sounds very much like this as well. So, you know, you could argue that that's the debut, but no, this was a big record for them, as was Nantucket Sleigh Ride. And then they kind of faded out. You know, they reformed and stuff later on and did things, but this was their golden period. And Black Sabbath, their first tour of America was with Mountain, right? So there you go. That's Mountain. Let's take a listen to our second selection. This is Cactus with Oleo. Well, I said it all, she lay me. I said it all, she slept away. I said it all, she lay me. I said it all, she slept away. All right, so Cactus, this is from the debut, self-titled debut, July 1st, 1970. They had restrictions one way or another and hot and sweaty. And then they you know, self-combusted as well. But Cactus was another band that was considered the next Led Zeppelin. You know, interesting, after this, you've got Beck, Bogart, and Apicy, which is the same sort of thing. When you get three guys mentioned like that, and one of them is Jeff Beck, so Jeff Beck Truth is you know, that album, a lot of people, there's a hot debate about that album being the blueprint for the first Led Zeppelin album, or a very similar album, and possibly Zeppelin taking some of the ideas from Jeff Beck. But you've got Beck, you've got this consummate, amazing bass player, rest in peace, Tim Bogert, and you've got Carmine Apicy, power drummer. Now, again, there's also the tie back with Cactus, Beck, Bogart, and Appice back to Vanilla Fudge, of course. And Vanilla Fudge were actually an influence on Led Zeppelin, and certainly Carmine was an influence on John Bonham. So that's pretty interesting. Vanilla Fudge, of course, was this band that was known for their big Hammond organ, so big influence on Deep Purple too. But the big Hammond organ heavy. Stretched out interpretations of other people's songs. So they're known for their covers, like Keep Me Hanging On, stuff like that. But Cactus was very much like Mountain at this time. And they actually are a little closer to that idea. Well, they are that idea of the Who Led Zeppelin classic power trio with a lead singer lineup. Their lead singer was Rusty Day. Now, Rusty Day is an interesting situation. I mean, he was considered a bit of a scary dude. I remember there's the story about him pulling a knife on Ginger Baker. But Rusty Day, he was shot dead June 3rd of 1982, sadly with his son. He was at home. So this is Rusty, his son, his dog, and a guy named Garth McRae, fatally shot in Rusty's home June 3rd of 1982, and it was considered to be kind of drug deal related. There's a lot of drugs in Rusty's quite fascinating story. The other really cool thing about Rusty is, Carmine and Tim had told me, like, this guy was, and Jim McCarty, actually, so Jim McCarty is your guitarist in Cactus, right? He was encyclopedic in his knowledge of music. He could just cover anything almost on the spot. You could jam with him, you know, that consummate way that bands jam when they get together, and he could just sing anything. He knew all the lyrics. He was almost like an idiot savant with rock and roll history when it came to lyrics. So you've got this explosive lineup of this pretty scary dude, Rusty Day. Lead and backing vocals and harmonica. So there you got the tie-in with Robert Plant. And you hear that sort of feel on this song, right? And you've got Tim Bogart, you've got Carmine Appice and Jim McCarty. Jim and Rusty are your Detroit guys. Cactus as a band, they're a little more East Coast than they are Detroit. I was never a massive fan. It's a little more a mix of poppiness, boogie rock, blues, more so than nascent or pushing the modern boundaries of good modern heavy metal riffery. But this band was also a band that was touted as the next Led Zeppelin. They didn't get the success that Mountain got, but a very similar sort of catalog to Mountain. You know, they're both kind of dated that connective tissue between the British blues boom and metal later. But that's a whole discussion that I think was more or less covered in episode 58, Blues for Metalheads. So there you go, Cactus. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again, episode 94, The Next Led Zeppelin, History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff. Let's take a listen to our third selection as we definitely move up the chain of evolution here. This is Montrose with Bad Motor Scooter. All right, so Montrose definitely deserved that mantle. An amazing, amazing American band of the next Led Zeppelin, and people were absolutely talking about this band as the next Led Zeppelin. This album was a slow burn. It didn't sell very well when it first came out. It was amazing. A lot of metalheads knew about it. It was the first modern heavy metal album. I'm not going to go into that all again because I think we've covered some of this in previous episodes, but on this idea of being the next Led Zeppelin. You've got Sammy Hagar in there with the same hair as Robert Plant, right? And he's an amazing powerhouse lead singer, great frontman. You've got a guitar hero in Ronnie Montrose. He's not that known at this point. He's played with Van Morrison, but his big gig was he's on The Only Come Out at Night, Edgar Winter, which went double platinum, right? So he's coming out of that band, had a big falling out with Edgar. He has a big ego. There's a story about when Ronnie was showing Bill Church his gold record for They Only Come Out at Night, he pulls it out and shows it to him. And you know how they got the little picture of the album cover on there? And that album has a big picture of Edgar Winter on it. Ronnie had X-Acto knifed out that and put his own picture in there. So, big ego on Ronnie. But this band, so you've got a guitar hero in Ronnie. A leader of the band. So that's kind of Jimmy Page as well. You've got Sammy Hagar as the young, blonde, amazing lead singer. You've got a powerhouse drummer in Denny Carmassi. And then you've got Bill Church in the John Paul Jones situation. And Bill had a vast, vast history of bands before this. Him and Ronnie were in Sawbuck together. He had a band called Wheat Straw Bluegrass and the Blue Stars back in Germany. He was as they call him, army brat. So he was all over. He lived in England and Germany. So he had a long history of being a rock and roll dude and really knew his craft by this point. And, you know, he talks about as well how, even when he had Wheat Straw Bluegrass back in Reno, there was the birth of the power trio, right? And that was kind of the big thing in vogue because of Cream and Jimi Hendrix. And hence this idea of a Led Zeppelin is essentially a power trio with a lead singer. That's the other way people talk about bands like this. This whole album is just full of so much promise and brightness and amazing production from Ted Templeman. Montrose was definitely touted as the next Led Zeppelin. And it was all kind of not to be. Sammy stuck around for one more album. And then Sammy was out and off to a solo career. He picked up Bill Church again. I'll mention one more thing here, which is kind of interesting. So Bill was telling me the other day that, the Sammy Hagar band had Alan Fitzgerald in on keyboards. And one day that, you know, they played a gig and the sound was muddy and he was having all kinds of problems with his bass and all this. And they played a gig shortly after. And I think this was down in Hollywood, Florida. And Alan Fitzgerald was late to the gig because this notorious highway that comes in and, if you didn't get on it early, there's just one highway leading to the venue and you could get caught in traffic. So Alan was with his girlfriend and missed the gig. And they realized that the bad sound and the problems and the muddiness they were having was because of keyboards, because Bill says, I sounded great that night. He says after the gig, he looked at Sammy. Sammy looked at him and Sammy says, I guess we're a four-piece again. They realized that this idea of the four-piece is a magical, magical thing. Now, Sammy, of course, also plays guitar. But again, here's that magic of the more or less power trio and the Zeppelin-esque feel. So Sammy Hagar kind of, at least in a live way, became more of a Zeppelin-esque band that night. All right, let's take a listen to our fourth selection here. This is Diamond Head with Truckin'. All right, Diamond Head. So yes, notorious band of the new wave of British heavy metal. Definitely talked about in Kerrang and Sounds and all that as the next Led Zeppelin. And why? They've got this really strong songwriter in Brian Tatler. He's writing everything. He's just comes up with great riffs and great songs, song after song. But, you know, the first album, possibly a little overrated. It's a little loose. It could use some editing. It's not well recorded. The next album was also even a bit of a disaster. Then they changed again. But, you know, they actually change by the time they get to their third album, Canterbury. They're actually even more Led Zeppelin-esque. So they're trying a lot of different things. There's acoustic, there's pop, there's the heaviness, there's kind of the mystical feel to the whole thing. So they are kind of fulfilling their promise a little bit by the time they get to the third album. And then, of course, yeah, the lead singer is Sean Harris. He's also a strong personality, great voice, also a bit of an eccentric guy, a songwriter. So him and Brian are kind of button heads. But I wanted to play you a song from their reunion album, Death in Progress, issued in 93. Truckin', I think this is my favorite Diamond Head song of all time. And yet it's not from the, you know, the quote unquote golden era. But what a great song. And I also wanted to play it because I feel it actually feels like it has the progressive spirit of Led Zeppelin in it. An interesting thing about this song is that Dave Mustaine guests on it on guitar, and he's the producer and the mixer of the song. Tony Iommi actually guests on Starcrossed on the first song of this album. Truckin' is the second song. Stupid title for an amazing, amazing, really cool, complicated heavy metal song, beautifully recorded. And I guess we can thank Dave Mustaine for that. But no, I wanted to play you something that, you know, I also wanted to protest the overrating of early Diamond Head, because I almost think, slightly contrary, very contrarian point of view, because Lightning to the Nations is considered a classic, and it is. It's a new wave British heavy metal classic, but I think the Death in Progress album is super underrated. They obviously went on, they've had two different lead singers, hence, and done, I think it's three, four-ish more albums in recent times. But this is the one that kind of just sits there in the middle, and I think it's a pretty cool album. So that was Truckin', and absolutely Diamond Head is a good choice for a band that was considered the next Led Zeppelin. So we've gone from 1970 to 1970, literally March to July 1970. Montrose was 1973. We're up to 1993. And we're going to take another leap up to 2011. So take a listen to this. This is Black Country Communion with The Outsider. Give a damn! All right, Black Country Communion, June 13th, 2011. Bit of a wearing and tearing vibe to that one, right? Wearing and tearing riff. So that's, I believe that's the first track on the second album, two. So they had an album out in 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2017. Obviously, this band, there's the drama between Joe Bonamassa. He's loving his solo career. He gets to be the boss. It's doing well. So he's there's always this problem with him and Glenn. Glenn wants to do more Black Country Communion all the time. Joe Bonamassa, not so much. But an amazing band, and I always, you know, maybe other people have talked about this band as the next Led Zeppelin, but I certainly did in the press all the time as this band being the second coming of Led Zeppelin. I love Black Country Communion. You've got Glenn Hughes, super strong singer in there with a storied history, Trapeze and Deep Purple mostly, a little bit of Black Sabbath, a little bit of Hughes Thrall, huge, huge long solo career. So he's the singer, but he's also the bass player. So it doesn't quite fit the power trio with frontman format. You got a guitar hero, a blues guitar hero in Joe Bonamassa. You've got Derek Sherinian on keyboard. So that's not exactly matching. Maybe he's the Steve Knight, right? He's the mountain guy. And then of course on drums, you've got Jason Bonham, who, you know, I get heck for this all the time, but I think he's in many ways a better drummer than his dad was. And I love his drumming. He's one of my favorite drummers of all time. He just tears it up on these four Black Country Communion albums. He's amazing. But there's a big link to Led Zeppelin, and you know why you can consider this band the next Led Zeppelin. But you know the main reason is that they're just super dynamic, action packed, lots going on. And they're like the second coming of classic rock in a way. You know, here they are operating, making this kind of really cool, pretty heavy music. I mean, they're a pretty heavy band. They also do acoustic-y Led Zeppelin type things and bluesy type Zeppelin type things. So, definitely a good example of this idea of the next Led Zeppelin. Of course, Glenn Hughes is now in Dead Daisies. You can consider bands like that to be kind of continuing, you know, vaguely in this idea of the next Led Zeppelin as well. All right, wanted to do a few honorable mentions here because there's actually quite a few. Robert Plant, the next Led Zeppelin, certainly on the first album and the second album, I would say as well. But certainly the first album, Pictures at 11, then Principle at of Moments. He was very Zeppelin-esque. Bad Company. Bad Company is post-Free. They're post-British blues boom. They're on Swan Song, but they have that power trio lineup. And they're a mix of blues and heaviness and acoustics. So they're considered somewhat the next Led Zeppelin, have been. Van Halen, a little bit, you know, they've got that same kind of lineup, Guitar Hero, power trio with lead singer, David Lee Roth, strong front man, The Firm, here we've got a super group with Jimmy, you know, anchored by Jimmy Page and another swan song artist, Paul Rodgers. And they're making this super group. It's not particularly Zeppelin-esque sounding. Tony Franklin, cool bassist in that band. We talked about Beck Bogart at Apice. Blue Murder, John Sykes, Guitar Hero, Carmen Apice in there. The Tea Party from Canada here. I mean, wow. Talk about the next Led Zeppelin. I mean, check these guys out, especially their second album, Edges of Twilight. Triptych, Seven Circles, I think it's called. Amazing, amazing stuff. This is a band that is sounding very much like the moody, mystical, Kashmir-esque Led Zeppelin, but with a guy that looks like and sounds like Jim Morrison on vocals. Absolutely, Jeff Martin, power trio as well. So that's kind of interesting. Check the band out, Canadian band. Absolutely, almost like a mythic, heroic version of the next Led Zeppelin and those guys. When we did Led Zeppelin in the hair metal episode, Kingdom Come, remember that whole story, Badlands, again, same sort of lineup, bluesy hard rock, Salty Dog with my buddy Michael Hannon, same kind of thing, very Zeppelin-esque, The Bonham Band itself, Collision, I think those were all the ones we covered in that episode. Detective, but going back to 76, 77 on Swan Song, that was a bit of a super group put together, it sounded a little bit like Presence in Through the Outdoor version Zeppelin. The Black Crowes might consider them somewhat of that idea. And of course, Greta Van Fleet, they in many ways derided as Zeppelin clones and trying to be too self-important like Led Zeppelin. You might be able to tell I'm not a big fan. At the time, I would say the same way that Aerosmith was kicking the butts of the Rolling Stones in certain ways. Aerosmith was also kicking the butts of Led Zeppelin, but also in that same idea, Queen was kind of kicking the butts of Led Zeppelin just by being way, way more creative during Led Zeppelin's reign. I thought Queen was somewhat the next Led Zeppelin, although they aren't really talked about that way. I'm sure you could find reviews that do that though. Heart is an interesting one. Heaviness, acousticness. They loved Led Zeppelin. They covered Led Zeppelin. So the melange of songs across those albums are somewhat Zeppelin-esque. Zebra. Zebra was actually a Zeppelin tribute band. And so they obviously covered Zeppelin. But, Who's Behind the Door and all that sound very Zeppelin-esque. So that was a band from Florida, I believe. I think they had three albums. I don't know. They might have reunited later. But they made a bit of a stir with that first album. Bears, I think, was one of their songs as well. We talked a little bit about Nazareth. You know, Black Sabbath, no. I mean, people did not talk about Black Sabbath as the next Led Zeppelin, but Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Uriah Heep, Led Zeppelin were always compared, and especially Black Sabbath to Led Zeppelin because of the exact same lineup, frontman, three guys on instruments. So there you go. Oh, yeah, I have one other one. Led Zeppelin with Jason Bonham, right? There's the next Led Zeppelin. I wish it would have been the next Led Zeppelin because what a powerhouse band. But I mean, do you really want these guys to go into studio and write songs? Yes, I do. but anyways, no, that in a way was... was the next Led Zeppelin. I mean, there was that kind of false start, that bad sort of situation where they got together for the Ahmet Erdogan Atlantic thing. Or is that two separate times? I can never remember that. But anyways, no one was happy with the situation. But when Zeppelin played O2, it was pretty darn amazing, and Jason Bonham did an amazing job. So there you go. That was episode 94, The Next Led Zeppelin. Lots and lots of examples there. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi, rhymes with no fee, at ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. You can hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or a pint. On that front this week, to be thanked are... let's see here. We've got Bruce Campbell, Simon Cole, Tim Durling. I might have mentioned this before, but he did an episode of our YouTube show, The Contrarians with Marco, on Queensryche. Marco and him are going to do something again soon. Tim did an awesome job there. David Fisher, Jeremy French, Paul Gaspari, Kevin Latham, Jason Leonard, Melissa Nee. I just went on her podcast, right? Metal Chat with Melissa. We had a great chat. She really knows her stuff. Augustine Garcia de Paredes, Brian Sager, Barry Smith, David Smith, and Daniel Wagner. You can go to martinpopoff.com for all your book needs. Latest ones that we're still selling kind of regularly is the Sweet Book, the Angel Book. Definitely Flaming Telepaths is still steadily selling, even selling some prints of the illustrations I did in there. That's kind of working out okay. Pretty neat. And the big busy one right now is the Driven Book, Rush in the 90s and in the End. So that's all at martinpopoff.com. You can email me or message me because I'm not putting this at my site, but I do have also copies of the first of the Rush Trilogy Anthem in paperback. But a lot of people don't need that, so I'm not even going to put it at the site. But if you want one, let me know. There you go. Go listen to some of this kind of if you like Led Zeppelin, you might like these bands situation. Bye for now.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.